Hey everyone, it's Russ. Welcome to another episode of the Wealthcare Advisor Spotlight. Excited today to be joined by Rick Van Zandt, who has been a Wealthcare Advisor for a number of years. Welcome, Rick.
Welcome. Thanks, Russ.
Yeah, glad you could join us. Excited to share our conversation with our listeners today. For those that aren't familiar with you, Rick, and your practice, could you just maybe take a moment, introduce yourself, and tell folks a little bit about kind of your setup?
Sure. I'm Rick Van Zandt. I am a CPA PFS. That's the AICPA's designation for a personal financial specialist. I live and operate in the panhandle of Idaho. Have a company that I run with my wife, and we basically do investment, advisory, financial planning, and tax services.
And could you tell us a little bit, Rick, like give us a little bit of background, like how did you get started in the industry and kind of what's your journey to your setup and kind of how you're operating today?
Sure. About 20 some odd years ago, I was working for a company in the neighboring city, Spokane, and my employer was a kind of a jack of all trades, and he purchased a small broker-dealer business. So he did that. He also did taxes, but I was the CPA at the office. And then we had a mortgage loan officer. And so the three of us ran this little boutique firm, and I got to learn a lot about the various industries and saw a lot of what the broker-dealer life was like. And I decided that I wanted to learn more about that. So I got licensed, got my Series 7, and all probably 15, 16 years ago. But didn't really get, so I was there until 2009, which point my wife and I started our own practice here in our little town, 7,500 people. And with the goal of being the local tax guy, because there was no CPA in town. But I really had this passion to also help clients holistically with the financial planning needs. But I only had two clients. So, but I'd learned a lot in my previous capacities, I had utilized the Financeware software. That's how I became acquainted with Wealthcare back, because my former boss's broker dealer utilized that as a planning tool and was really intrigued and enjoyed that. And so that's kind of the nature of it. When we started the practice, it just so happened that was about the time that Wealthcare was deciding that they were going to be an RIA. And Bob Wilson, another CPA and kind of one of the founders, invited me to come alongside.
And how, I'm just curious, since you mentioned it, how did you stumble across or find Wealthcare initially? Do you remember?
Yeah, so if I may say, we were working with Symetra, and somehow Symetra became acquainted with Financeware, and was a tool on their platform in order to do financial planning for clients.
Got it. Interesting. And I know I was really interested in looking forward to this conversation, Rick, because you are one of a small handful of Wealthcare advisors that has both an active tax practice as well as serving clients as their financial planner, financial advisor. So I want to spend some time talking about that before we get to that specifically. Since these conversations are really about showcasing you and the work you do, from your perspective, what would you say is unique about kind of who you are, the clients you serve, and how you serve them?
Sure. I found being on the CPA side of life and doing taxes for many years, that I heard from a lot of people in the industry how we, as professionals, that we're a team approach to help our clients, whether it's an attorney or a financial advisor, CPA, and being on the tax side of it, I found out that that very infrequently happens, at least in my practice. Sorry to interrupt, Rick.
Can you clarify when you say that infrequently happens? Did you mean like being a CPA, you didn't really feel like you were a part of the client's team?
No. Well, I guess so. We tend in our industries say that we have a team of professionals that we can best help the client together, which would, I would imagine, invoke relationship and communication. And it just, I didn't get very many calls from attorneys and or financial advisors back in the day in order, you know, requiring or interfacing on the client's behalf.
Okay, got it. That makes sense.
Now, in the current, in the more recent years, in the switch more to an RIA model, that is, I don't know, not been as necessary, I guess. But I found there was a lot of seeing somebody's tax return. You're really seeing into somebody's, you know, inner circle of their private life, at least financially speaking. And so I wanted to be able to help clients and provide an opportunity to be on the same side of the table with them.
Got it. And I've, you know, I'm sure you have as well as I have. I've seen tons of research and surveys that always point to CPAs being one of the most trusted financial professionals or financial advice givers that consumers and clients work with. Have you found that being both a CPA and bringing that skill set to the table in tandem with your work as a financial advisor, have you found that that's helped you grow your practice, bring on clients, or has it helped you build trust with new clients more quickly? Just maybe spend a little bit of time kind of talking about the role that being a CPA and having an active tax practice plays relative to your financial advice and financial planning activities.
Yeah, I didn't realize how blessed I am until actually being at one of the conferences and talking with another advisor. It really is, I guess, my niche to happen into this industry or to pursue this industry after being a CPA for many years. Is a unique, not unique, but is not a very common skill set. And so I found that, again, to be able to help clients, I like to say, and I'm stealing this from somebody, I heard this, but help clients grow and, you know, make more money and yet try to give as no more at Uncle Sam than is absolutely necessary. And that combination, especially in the demographic or in the small town that I live in, I've been able to save clients just a lot of heartache and dollars by making smart decisions, integrating the financial planning with the tax planning.
Could you, I don't know if there's a specific client or maybe story that comes to mind, but could you give us an example of where you've been able to either save the client, you know, hard dollars in terms of taxes and or add some value by combining both your tax advice and the financial planning?
Yeah, the I'll give you a positive story and a negative story. The positive stories really often sit around marginal tax bracket analysis, meaning that a small town, I have lots of clients that are retired, do not have pensions, so their retirement consists of Social Security and their IRAs and hopefully a Roth and or a brokerage account. And when they do, determining what's the best distribution of funds in order to maximize tax brackets. For instance, if you only have, say $40,000 a year in Social Security income, and for a married couple, the standard deduction this year's 26-ish thousand. And so their RMD, for instance, might be a smaller number, might be $10,000, but that they might be able to take out $15,000 or $20,000, even if they don't want to spend it, and that's not part of their plan or their need, we can at the very minimum transfer it into their brokerage account. And thus, I like to say Uncle Sam gets to sniff it as it goes by because it's a distribution on the 1099, but it's not taxed. And so their heirs benefit from that because those dollars won't be passed on as taxable dollars to the heirs. So that's the one level. Another is maximizing other tax brackets, especially the 12% of the 22. At $80,000 of taxable income, I like to share that, that's almost doubling those additional marginal tax dollars. Those are two areas that every year, right now, that's my, all my planning is reviewing my tax clients to see what we can best do regarding distributions and or contributions, obviously on the other side for the younger folk. My sad story is a client that came to me and said, "Hey, we paid off our house." And I was like, "Wow, that's exciting. How did you do that?" And they said, "Well, Johnny wanted to retire," and this is Susie talking, "and he decided that we're going to be debt free." And I said, "Oh, okay. So, and well, he cashed out his 401k and paid off our house."
Oh no.
And it's a, $150,000 mortgage is my memory. And it was like, "Oh, good." Long story short is that, if I had known in advance, and they were not a financial planning client by any stretch, then I would have suggested that they transfer those dollars into an IRA and basically make the payment instead of, so their cash flows place would be the same as paying off the mortgage, but that they could have taken it out ratably and not paid any tax. And instead they had $50,000 tax bill. He wasn't even 59 and a half. So the story just gets worse. And it seeing those sorts of things that could have been helped, just breaks your heart.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that's a tough one. So I'm curious, Rick, so since you kind of wear two hats as both a CPA and a financial planner, when you're talking to a client, for example, do you, how do you kind of think about, a discussion or a decision-making process? Do you kind of think of it from a tax perspective and then think about it from a financial planning perspective, or have you kind of gotten comfortable over the years just kind of integrating the two and being able to, conversationally and on the fly, I guess, kind of in the back of your mind, think about the decision points from both a tax and a maybe a longer term planning perspective as you're, working with clients and giving them advice?
you saying to a prospect or?
I was thinking more to a client. So somebody that you're working with, but they come to you with a, so let's say this client, Johnny and Susie came to you and before they had taken out his 401k to pay off the mortgage. I'm just curious, do you first kind of come at those types of decisions? And that's a relatively simple, straightforward one, but do you first come to those types of situations with your kind of your CPA tax hat on, or from your experience as a financial advisor, or do you kind of balance them both equally now?
Yeah, nowadays, pretty much equally. In the beginning, it was very tax-centric first, because I like to say, I was born and raised in that field. The financial planning side came along later, but nowadays, especially reviewing a tax return, and the nice thing about that is I've already had relationship with folks, and as you said, there's apparently a trust level with CPAs, and so having that relationship really bodes well for our industry, because it's relationship driven. We being on the same side of the table, we don't earn everything up front, and it takes time. And so that relationship is what really steers and directs and is the beauty of what we do.
Yeah. Yeah. I appreciate that. I was just knowing you as well as I do. And just in the course of the conversation, I was just kind of curious if that perspective or that kind of point of view has shifted over time, and it sounds like it has. You mentioned earlier in the conversation too, Rick, you mentioned kind of a niche, and I got the impression you were talking about your niche being clients that want to deal with one advisor that can help with both the tax and the financial planning. But could you clarify, is that kind of what you consider your target market or your niche, or is there something even a little bit more specific than that?
I do find that clients like that. I remember listening to Kitz's podcast, and the number one thing that people look for in an advisor was proximity, not how smart we are, not our accolades or anything like that, but proximity. And he went on, if I remember correctly, to say that something about the ease of having relationship. And so, yes, that niche of being able to kind of kill two birds with one stone is a niche, as well as just knowing the impact of decision making on where dollars are invested, where they are distributed from, and making decisions. For instance, I have a client that sold a piece of property this year, and they're still an employee, still working, but they weren't contributing to their 401k. So we put out the plan that for the last 3 months of the year, they're going to have a $0 paycheck so that they can max contribute to the 401k and max that out for 2021 and live off of the dollars that they, kind of robbing from Peter to pay Paul, live off the dollars from selling that piece of property so that they can lower the taxable income, which means they gain more of those dollars for them in the 0% capital gains bracket, and or whether it's in the 15% bracket, 20% bracket. So those sorts of integrations just really it's able to provide a value. And then wealth care, the beauty of wealth care is that, as you well know, is that we invest those dollars tax advantaged as well, meaning that if you have an IRA, a Roth, and a brokerage, they're not each typically at a 60-40 split of equities and fixed income, but we would have a larger percentage of equities in the brokerage account in order to take advantage of qualified dividends and long-term capital gains. So it just, what we do and our capital market assumptions and all really integrate well with life as a CPA.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess maybe some of those things that maybe I've begun to, I don't want to say take for granted, but I just have gotten so accustomed to getting through and from wealth care, like the asset location, as you were just mentioning. I can see how that would have particular appeal to someone with such a deep tax background like you've got. So that's interesting. I'm glad you mentioned that. And another word that you just mentioned, talking about kind of your niche and listening to that Kitsis podcast, was proximity. So being up in the panhandle of Idaho, in a relatively small town of 7,500 people or so, are most or all of your clients like right there local? Do you have some that are, out of state or on, different parts of the country? It sounds like you've pretty deliberately had a very local focus from a marketing and business development standpoint. But I'm just curious, do you have clients that are outside of your, immediate, vicinity?
I have a few that are outside, either because they moved or mostly because they moved. I do like to be, my dream and the desire was to kind of hang a shingle in my community and be involved in my community. So when I worked in Spokane, because you don't know this, it's about 30 miles away and not a bad commute because it was 40 minutes. It was hardly any traffic, but it was still 45 or more minutes every day, coming and going, which meant I left 6:37 in the morning and got home 6:37 in the evening. And I love where I live. And I could hardly even tell you any of the names of streets in town because I was gone all day. So I really wanted to serve and be a part of my local community. And that was my vision and my passion. And that's what we've built our practice on. So most of it is a local. There are other metropolitan areas close by Spokane, as I said, in Coeur d'Alene, which is a vacation destination spot that's very beautiful close by. So there, we don't draw a lot from those other areas. So it's pretty much a local biz.
Got it. And just roughly, approximately how many clients or households do you work with today, Rick?
Well, that's a mix. I think 75 households on the investment side, but I or our office does 450 tax returns. So that's, I purchased probably 150 tax returns from my former employer when we started, and had two investment clients. So it's grown from there.
Yeah. Well, and the reason I ask is just to give some context to those listening. I mean, if you're in a town of about 7,500 people, you've got 70 or so clients on the planning side and doing 400 plus tax returns each year. If you decided you did want to stay local, and it sounds like you do, I mean, there's still a lot of upside before I think you would reach what anyone would consider a saturation point. So I think that just goes to show that there's still plenty of opportunity, even if you do decide to focus and stay local. Would you say that's a fair assessment?
Yeah, I do believe that. I firmly believe that there is always plenty of good work out there for good people. I'm not worried about that. It just keeps growing.
Good for you. What would you, and I think we've probably touched on some of this, but to put a finer point on it, what would you say is the biggest challenge that you help people address or solve through your work, Rick?
Gosh, I guess it's the biggest challenge, I guess, seems to be is folks switching, helping folks switch in their mentality from accumulating and to being free to spend, and giving them that peace that they're okay. So it's easy to say, but changing mindsets is difficult, but it's so rewarding when it happens. There folks have just held on tightly, for such a long time, and then to be able to help give them freedom and peace of mind and joy is it's hard, but it's rewarding when it happens.
Well, what a great answer and a great perspective. I mean, I think it's one thing to give clients advice, but to actually see them through to execution and follow through. And as you mentioned, helping them deal with some of the mindset and psychological aspects of our advice, and what can be a pretty radical change from, 30, 40 years of saving and accumulated to and accumulating to now, turning into more of a, let's spend and enjoy the, what we've worked so hard to accumulate. So yeah, I couldn't agree more. And a related but maybe a little different question. What surprised you most about your work, Rick?
I guess, and this kind of touches back on the difficult side as well. As it's grown, I didn't realize all the different hats. And so it's one thing when you have a couple clients, and it's another thing when you have more clients. And so as my wife, gave up her job to come back full time and help. We run this business together, but she's back helping me full time. And so her skill sets have been invaluable to me. To kind of like in marriage, Rocky said, "She fills my gaps." And so that. Those gaps are filled and completing. So, I was surprised that as we've grown, what it takes to really service a client and to realize of surprise, not trying to be arrogant at all, but I don't have it all. And so having help and utilizing the all the benefits that like Scott talked about, that WellCare provides, the operations, the compliance, the trading, the planning, the investment development. It's amazing how much it takes to do this, and yet I really have a great team, so I'm grateful.
And speaking of team, I know we always enjoy when you and your wife Corrine come to the conferences and spend time with us, and we get to hang out with you both. But besides you and your wife, who else do you have other staff, other associates, and team members?
We have a couple gals that work for us, semi full time, and one's been with us over 5 years, and the other over 7 years. Most of their duties are bookkeeping and tax data entry and front desk kind of things. And then in tax season, I have another person, another accounting professional like myself, that helps me in reviewing tax returns. And we usually have a part-time front desk person. So we're at full capacity of six people in our little house office, and in tax season, and then we're anywhere from three or four outside of tax season.
Got it. Yeah. So back to your earlier comment about wearing different hats, you're not only taking care of your clients, but you're also, you know, taking care of an office and a team. And so yeah, you're juggling a lot of things on any given day. If a college, and I'm really interested to hear your perspective on this, Rec, as both a financial advisor and a CPA, if a college student approached you about becoming a financial advisor, what advice would you give them, or what direction might you point them in?
I would say, come on. I mean, I am so passionate about what we do. I think it's a great career. And like I said, from going from just a tax season centric world to more well rounding my practice into a, you know, people say to me, "Oh, Rick, it's, you know, this is your downtime, right?" No, there's no downtime anymore. There's always work to be done, and questions and planning and all sorts of things that happen throughout the year. So it, especially if it's a college tax student, you know, somebody looking to go the traditional realm, I'd say if you like, how do I put it? Let me back up for a second. Folks that go to school for accounting, there's two roads, generally speaking, to go. You either go what's called internal accounting, meaning that you're end up being a controller or VP of a corporation. And so all your life, you're just building the model better and better and trying to make this corp the best possible, to the route that, and I did that for a few years for a software company, but the route that I chose and feel am gifted more towards is the client service, and where you're going from client to client to client, and it's, everything's a new adventure, everything's a new challenge, because all the industries out there in the world that we get to touch, from retail to service to manufacturing to, you know, we get to see inside all of these businesses. So knowing which of those two routes in coming out of school, and having insight into that before you come out is crucial. Then if you've chosen the route that I've chosen, the integration as an RIA. And so, as I said, when I started, because of the firm that I worked at, I had my Series 7. And when I came to WealthCare, I remember Bob telling me, you know, "We'd love to have you, but you know, you'd have to give up your Series 7. And those of us that have taken that test don't want to, you know, go back on that. But it was the best thing I ever did, because as you also talked about, being a CPA and that trusted advisor, coming alongside our clients in a fee-only capacity, not as selling a product, there's commission and CPAs is a bad, you know, that's a bad mix. Those two words should never be conjoined. So anyway, I think I just realized what a fascinating and wonderful world this is. And to help serve clients holistically has been a blessing.
Yeah. Yeah. I appreciate that. And I'm glad too, that you kind of highlighted the fact that, you know, there maybe are a couple of, you know, primary choices that someone coming out of school with a tax degree or tax, you know, study can choose, and kind of, you know, shedding some light on the path you've ultimately chosen and how it's worked out for you. So, yeah, I think that's great. So Rick, we've covered a ton. I've got a couple more questions for you before we wrap up, but as we start to wrap things up, if there were one thing that other advisors could take away from our conversation today, what would you want that one thing to be?
I really have I believe in pretty much giving everything away, and trusting that it will it will work itself out in the long run. And whether usually that's time. I read a book just a year or so ago that exemplified that. The Go Giver, and I don't remember the author, but basically it's just a tiny little book. It's such an easy read, and it's so impactful regarding some sort of salesman, and he saw himself as a go-getter, but he was failing. And he was mentored or taught to be a go-giver and to basically give first, and the get will come. And I think that's, you know, a cheesy, dating reference back in the day. You know, if you said if you didn't have a girlfriend when you were a kid, you know, nobody, you never had one. But if once you had a girlfriend and it changed your perspective on you weren't needy, then you were more attractive because, you know, you were more at ease. And so giving away and not worrying about where it's going to come from, because you just give and it will come back. So anyway, that I recommend that book to any advisor. I think it really, or anybody, it just is a neat little book. Story told. So buy the book. And I don't know the author or anything. So.
Yeah, I've read it, actually. It's a great book. The author is Bob Berg, and there's a co-author. I want to say it's like last name's Mann, M-A-N-N, or something like that. But we'll see if we can maybe link to that book in the show notes for this episode, because I agree it's a great book, and I think it's a really can really provide a fresh perspective on the, you know, kind of the getting versus giving decision. So thanks for sharing that, Rick. How would you say, and you've mentioned wealth care multiple times through our conversation, but how would you say wealth care has helped you and your clients over the, you know, the last, well, since about 2009, I think you said that you first started dialogue with Bob and got connected with the firm. So how's wealth care helped you and your clients over that period of time?
Well, for me, so being from the accounting side and knowing what has to go on behind the scenes, that they offered to, that Bob saw the vision and offered to take me on as a fellow CPA, which meant licensing, you know, for, they had, I don't know that I'm not the only guy in Idaho, so that they came along and set up the bookkeeping and the accounting and the state tax connection and all those sorts of things for, you know, some guy with two clients in North Idaho. And then basically not coming from the industry, it has its benefits and detriments. So they, you know, I didn't speak the language as well. I mean, I passed the test, but really they loved on me, learning the industry and, as we say, providing the operations team is amazing. The trading team, all of that, the back office, the compliance that I don't have to think about. And obviously it has just been immensely successful for me. I forgot what the other half of the question was, but I can't say enough about what they've done for me.
Yeah. Well, and I guess also the impact that it's had on your clients.
Yeah. So just, you know, Dave, Dave's passion is the Ayn Rand and I don't even know if that's how you pronounce it, but, and he was very big on that. And I remember thinking, well, if I'm going to, you know, hitch my wagon to this horse, I better find out about it. So I had never read Atlas Shrugged. I didn't know anything about it. And right in the very first few pages, there's a character, I was going to quote it, but something about, well, why do you do this? And he said, because it's right. And you know, the book, there's a lot of, things that I see why Dave was very impacted by it. And I just love that we do things because they're right. And that's just we haven't swayed from that in my view and in my experience. So I love that about how that impacts our clients, because it's just the right thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah. It's simple, but powerful. Thanks for that, Rick. Looking forward, you've clearly built a great business, a growing business. You've got a team to support you and your clients, both on the tax and on the financial advisory side of the business. Looking forward, where do you want to be in 5 years as a financial advisor?
Ideally, I would not do so many tax returns. And I say that because I believe the gifts that I've been given or that I have and is such that to, for instance, help a business owner, build a better business, to help them navigate the tax implications and yet plan for their future, and or their employees as well. But that all takes a lot of time, I'm finding, and having 450 tax clients, there is no downtime, and which is wonderful. I mean, I'm grateful to be busy all year round, but I'm transitioning to where I can more wrap my arms around more completely around less clients. So I found another local CPA to start working with. So that I'm not, I'm being most efficient at what I can and should be doing, I believe.
Yeah. Well, I think whether you've got the tax practice or not, I think we as advisors all deal with that to some degree or another, which is, finding a way to spend our time doing what we enjoy most, but also what we think we feel we're most, are best suited to deliver to clients and how we can add the most value to their lives. So, I think that's clearly a worthy pursuit. So, we'll have to maybe check back in with you here down the road and see how that's coming along. Rick, if someone is listening to this and they want to learn more about you or maybe even reach out and have a conversation, what's the best way for people to get in touch or learn more?
My email is rick@wealthcarecapital.com. But we are, as a tax practice, we kind of run two hats or two ships. And so we do have a website, vanzantfinancial.com. So, that's out there. And yeah, I'd love to chat, have a cup of coffee if you're local, and just talk about things.
Yeah. Well, we'll be sure to include the link to your website and in your email and hopefully a link to the book you mentioned as well in the show notes for this episode. Before we wrap it up for good, any final thoughts, anything else you want to maybe touch on or cover that we didn't get a chance to talk about?
I guess the last thing is the, basically as a CPA, becoming a financial advisor, it's difficult to change hats and to learn a new profession mid-career and or to be looked at as, something different. But I am here to say that it can be done and it is worth it. And I would love to, that's kind of as far as in the industry side and not the client side. I would love to be able to share navigating that and how beneficial it is and rewarding, as a practice I really just can't say enough about it. So that is, I think there's such a need out there for help, and we are well suited as CPAs to provide that, but may not feel necessarily ready or competent but you can do it.
Well, I think that's a great place to wrap up. And if you're listening, it sounds like Rick made a standing offer. If you're maybe a CPA or an accountant and aspire to maybe do more on the financial planning and financial advice side, Rick's clearly made the transition, has built a thriving and growing advisory and tax practice. And it sounds like he'd be happy to maybe share some of his experience that he's, picked up over, over the past 15, 16 years of doing it all. So thanks for sharing that, Rick. Thanks for making that offer. And thanks for joining us today on the Wealthcare Advisor Spotlight. I always enjoy speaking with you and catching up, but I'm particularly grateful that you were willing to spend a little time with us today and kind of have this conversation in public and allow us to share it with others. So thank you.
Thanks, Russ. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, absolutely. And for anyone out there listening, thanks for joining us, and be sure to tune in for our next Advisor Spotlight coming soon.